Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. Our goal is always to bring you interesting topics and guests. Our guest today will be Becky Morris from the Executive Director of CASA of McHenry County. And remember, we're broadcasting from 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Becky, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you for having me.
So, can you tell us about CASA and what's going on there, if you would, please?
Sure. So CASA of McHenry County, CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates. And our vision at CASA is that every child deserves to live in a safe, loving, forever home. And so we do that through our mission, which is to support and protect children who have suffered abuse or neglect by providing them with a trained, committed volunteer who advocates for their best interest. So we recruit volunteers who have a heart for kids who are court involved, otherwise known as in the foster care system.
So how do you find those children? How does that come about that you're made aware of these situations?
So we are appointed by the court, which means right now in McHenry County, we have about 60 to 80 children who enter the foster care system every year. And that's on top of the kids who are already in the foster care, right, who've already been there for a couple of years. So when they come into the courtroom, we have Judge Harmon, and when they come in, then he appoints a CASA to be on their case.
And how long do you monitor those children or work with them?
The entire time that they're in the system. So whether that's 12 months or 5 years, we find volunteers in the area who are committed to the entire case. They won't leave them.
That's very interesting because it's something that especially children need that. And what are you finding for the age group for the children, Becky?
We serve anyone from birth to 21 years. So just depends on who's coming into the courtroom.
Do you find there's a specific timeline how long the children are in the system?
I wish I could tell you, but it really is very different for everyone. What I can tell you is that in the state of Illinois, a child with a CASA is in the foster care system an average of 6 months fewer than a child without a CASA. So having a CASA who is advocating for them on top of the caseworkers and everyone else really does lower their time in the system.
So what types of problems does it present for CASA?
Well, these kids, first of all, were in an overburdened system, right, with not enough resources in the child welfare system. And there's a lack of consistency for the kids, right? They're moving from placement to placement. They get different foster homes, different foster parents. They might have to move schools. Their caseworkers change. There's just a huge lack of consistency for these kids who are already being removed from the only home that they've ever known. And so one of the things that we can do is provide that consistency. So while your caseworker might change, your CASA isn't going to. We're asking them to commit to the entirety of the case. So that means the CASA shows up at every single new home. They show up when you're at that new school. You know, they're the ones that are consistent and provide stability for the kids. The other thing is that the system is actually very parent-focused. And that can sound frustrating, but it makes sense when you think about it, right? The parents are the ones who are being held accountable to a certain standard in order to get their kids back, not the kids, right? And so, unfortunately, the system can sometimes be too parent-focused, and there just isn't enough time to focus on the kids. The CASA is entirely focused on the child. We're not working with the parents. We're not dealing with any of that. We're only focused on what is best for the child.
Well, you average about 60 to 80 children each year in the foster system for CASA. That's a significant burden for you folks to be able to maintain it and make sure these kids are all taken care of, isn't it?
Well, that's 60 to 80 additional children every year. So last year we actually served 183 children. And this year, because of a new legislation that went into effect in January, we expect to serve over 250.
250 children. So how do you handle that kind of volume? That's very large volume.
Well, recruitment. I mean, we are in the throes of recruiting new volunteers. In order to volunteer, you have to be 21 years of age or older, and we ask that you be in a stable place in your life, right? We don't want to add more chaos to this child's life. And then you have to go through 40 hours of training, complete that, and work with us. We have several interviews to vet people and make sure that we have the right people to be working with these kids, and then you get matched with the kids. So currently we have somewhere around 150 volunteers, and we're looking for about 25 more before the end of the year.
So if you want to be a volunteer, and let's say you have a job, young person has a job, How do you work the hours for them to be able to work their job and still volunteer with CASA?
Yeah. So the training session is, like I said, it's 40 hours. It's not 40 hours in the classroom. Some of that's outside of it. And we do those typically in the evenings to work with people once a week. But once you complete that, it's, you know, you handle your own time schedule and you work that out with the foster parents so that you can visit with the kids and things like that. And most CASA volunteers find that they're giving around 10 to 12, maybe 10 to 15 hours a month. You might have some months that are a little bit more. If there's a hearing that month, one of the most important things we do is write a report for the judge so that he knows what's going on in the kid's life. So some months might be a little bit higher, some months lower. So it's definitely doable even with a job.
So I'm a new volunteer and I'm going to work with the parents, but maybe I'm a little bit shy. So how do you get that shy person to then work with the parents and feel comfortable?
Yeah. So first of all, you go through a lot of training to prepare you for all of that. We even do role playing and things like that so that you know what you're getting into. The other thing is you're not out there on your own. We know you're not a social worker and you're not expected to act as one. So we have advocate managers. So you have an advocate manager at CASA that you can come to anytime with any questions. And if you want your advocate manager to go with you on a visit when you go to the foster home, especially that first visit, we will absolutely do that with you. So we're with you every step of the way.
That's great. I know you've got thoughts about CASA being only part of the solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, Becky?
Yeah, I mean, we're part of the solution. It's a huge issue that we need to work on in our county and in our area and our country. But caseworkers are so overloaded, right? They might have 50 cases, and how can they possibly give the attention that they want to be able to give to each of these kids? And that's where we come in to say, okay, well, we could have a volunteer who is only focused on that one case. So they have that one child or that one set of siblings, and they can give their time and attention to that one. And then also have a report that's only about the kids. They're not talking about the parents or the classes the parents are taking. They're just talking about the kid and what the kid needs right now. This is what's happening in the placement. This kid needs a pair of glasses and no one has worked on that. This kid needs to go to the doctor. You know, we can talk about those kinds of things or let them know if there's an issue with the placement and maybe they should be moved.
So that volunteer, when they see things like that and they come back, how is that cost covered then? What takes place?
So that's really cost. The costs are covered mostly through DCFS. So we're not paying for things. We're not necessarily the resource for the kids. We're the connector so that someone knows they need this. And again, the caseworkers have too much to do. They just can't possibly get to all of it as they want to. And so we're there to just help them with that. And so we can bring attention to things or we can connect the foster parents with a certain resource to get the kids what they need.
So when a caseworker goes out, a volunteer, you want them to get to know the child, I'm sure.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, are there any things that are roadblocks when they start doing this with the parents or anything that's unforeseen that happens?
Sure. First of all, oftentimes you're looking at kids who have maybe been moved around a lot. They've experienced abuse or neglect and they've experienced trauma in their lives. So building trust with those kids is not always easy. Typically, the younger they are, the easier it is. But we've got teenagers, right, who have been through a lot and they've seen a lot and they've had people come and go. So they need to know that you're going to stick around, and that takes a long time to earn their trust. So there's certainly issues like that, although I will tell you, our CASA volunteers will tell you it's extremely rewarding when you get that breakthrough with these kids. And certainly there might be some foster parents who, you know, they're very busy, right? They have a ton of appointments on their calendar with these kids. And so, you know, it might be a little bit harder to schedule with them or for them to understand the importance of why a CASA needs to get to know this child. But for the most part, the foster parents are really appreciative of what we do. We're just another set of eyes and ears for the judge. So
that brings me to that foster parent. How do you identify the foster parent? I mean, I'm sure people volunteer, but what's the screening for a foster parent that the child doesn't go from, you know, bad to worse?
Well, that we don't do, but I will tell you there's another great organization in our county called Let It Be Us, and they are doing a ton of work on foster parent recruitment and training and things like that. So we work with them quite a bit in collaboration as well. So if anybody's interested in becoming a foster parent, Let It Be Us would be where you want to go.
And how would they contact Let It Be Us, or what would they do, go to their website? Or?
Yeah, go to their website. I'm assuming it's letitbeus.org. I don't remember.
And I would assume that some foster parents are probably folks that have had more than one child that they fostered?
Oh, yes. Yes. Many of them foster multiple children or maybe one at a time, but over a long period of time.
It's interesting because there's a church in Woodstock, St. Anne's, and I believe that the minister there, he and his partner are fostering four children right now.
Oh, wow.
So, it's kind of an unusual situation, but I was talking to him the other day. I happened to bump into him, and he's telling me that story about how he's fostering children, which ties right into exactly what you were talking about today. What's the impact of CASA overall?
Well, we're a national organization. So nationally, we have 450 offices, and we serve over 240,000 kids a year. In the state of Illinois, we have 31 offices, and we serve about 9,000 kids a year. But here in McHenry County, like I said, we served 183 last year. We're thinking we're going to serve over 250 this year with hundreds of volunteers. So
450 offices, that's a lot.
Yeah. Nationwide.
Across the country. Yeah, nationwide. 49 states.
Yes.
The 31 offices covering 53 counties. How many are in McHenry County?
Just one. We just have the one office for McHenry County.
So you're working with those 53 counties. They're covering, 9,000 children per year?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just in the state of Illinois.
Wow. You try multiplying that, 49 states. That's a significant number of kids.
Yeah.
Overall. That's got to be, over 200,000 children?
Yeah, yeah, over about 240,000 children, and we have nationwide, we have over 90,000 volunteers.
So what has McHenry County served as far as children? How many kids have they served in McHenry County?
Total since inception, I believe, I'm sorry, I don't have that exact number. I'm going to say around 4,500. It's around 4,500 total since we've been around.
And I believe you want to tell us a little story about CASA, too. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would love to tell you. So we served, like I said, all ages. And we had one CASA. Like I said, they normally take on one case. But we asked the specific CASA to take on two cases because we had two girls, teenagers, who ended up in the same residential facility, otherwise known as a group home. And it was a little bit of a drive. And so we said, hey, since they're both there, would you mind being a CASA for both of them? And she said, of course. And so these two girls happened to meet in the facility and learned that they had the same CASA. And so she was planning a trip to go see them. And she knew that both of the girls needed some new clothing and underwear and, all those things that we don't necessarily think of.
And these girls were not related to each other.
No, not at all. Mm-mm. But she knew they needed that. And so she stopped into the CASA office, and we have some businesses in the area that collect gift cards for us that we can give to these older youth who don't have these kinds of resources for them. So she stopped by, and we were able to give her some gift cards to Target and Kohl's that she could take with her. So she goes to the residential facility, and the girls, first of all, are so excited. They come down together to meet with her, and they're so excited because they don't have visitors, right? These 15-year-old girls don't get visitors. And so they were really excited to see her. And of course, then she has these gift cards for them, and they are just ecstatic, right? These are, they never get to go shopping. They never get to get new clothes or whatever they might need. And I think people don't understand the importance of that piece, right? For a child to know that someone thought of them, that they matter, that someone wanted to help them, and that these things that they need matter to them is huge. And even though this CASA wasn't the one providing the gift cards, and the girls know that it came from CASA, not the person, it helps build trust with her, right? Because she's their resource. She cared enough to stop by CASA and get these things and know about their need. And so it was huge. And then they had a great time. I think they even played cards for a while and just talked and laughed like girls do at that age.
Sure.
And then at the end, one of the girls said, hey, we should start a book club. And so now the three of them are reading the same book. And so... yes, we write reports for the judge, and that's really important. He's the one making these decisions, so he needs to know what's going on with these kids. But I think the things that happen outside of that, the relationships that we can build with these kids, is life-changing for them to know that they have someone to go to. And that's just one of many stories I could tell you.
Just a reminder, folks, you're listening to Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. If you want more information, please go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us. And you can ask us any questions you may have or click on our shows to look forward to future shows and what we've had in the past. We are talking to Becky Morris from CASA right now. So, Becky, you told us a great story just now. Are any other stories that are like that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you there was another one with actually, this is a very different kind of story, but the children were in their second foster home, and the CASA just felt a little bit uncomfortable. The advocate, when she would go to visit, just felt like something was off, but she couldn't quite put her hand, put her finger on it. And so she learned of a few incidents with the youngest child and was a little bit concerned about what was going on that might have led to this. Why did he act out that way? Kind of stayed in touch, was on the phone quite a bit for a couple of days there to figure out what was going on, and finally figured out, because of the relationship she had with the kids, was able to figure out this was not right. They weren't like abusing them or anything. Foster parents can get a bad rap, right? And that's not the case in most cases. But it just wasn't a safe environment for this child. And so she was able to contact her advocate manager. She was able to, the advocate manager could contact the caseworker. Anyways, things moved very quickly. And we were able to get the information to the judge so that they could be moved to a different placement. And so that's not typically what we do, right? But again, it's just advocating for the kid's best interest. It's being able to know what's going on. And because of that relationship with the child, because she had built a relationship with the foster parents and built trust there, she could figure out what was going on and make sure that the kiddos were in the safest place that they could be.
That's going to be a difficult task because I'm sure some children will take to the foster parents and some won't,
yeah,
depending on the circumstances. And mm-hmm. Is it harder for boys than girls in those situations?
Not necessarily. I wouldn't say that. We serve about 55% boys, 45% girls. But no, not necessarily. It really has a lot more to do with the trauma that they've been through.
And that type of trauma, can you kind of share with the audience what these kids have gone through?
Yeah. About 60% of our cases involve neglect, and 40% involve abuse. So there's, it's all over the board what we see. But oftentimes the neglect cases are just, teachers or someone has noticed that they aren't bathed or that they come to school hungry or they can't stay awake. Those kinds of signs that we see that we know something's going on. And so a hotline call is made. And then it goes all the way to some really horrific abuse that we've seen written in reports that have gone on for too long. It's really all across the board.
So when that happens, then the children are then removed from the family, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And placed into foster care.
Mm-hmm.
Do the parents ever get those children back, or do they have to show any type of an improvement to get those children back? What's the procedure for that, Becky?
Yeah, absolutely. The goal is always reunification. We want them to be able to go back home if at all possible. And so that's always the goal. The judge then listens to the caseworkers and people involved and sets goals for the parents that they need to meet. So they might need to take parenting classes. They might need to go to anger management or complete rehab or, whatever the situation might be. And then there's hearings about every 3 months where we check in, the judge checks in on the progress of the parents to see where they're at. And if he needs to change the goal at some point or extend it, he'll do that. But it's always hardest when he has to terminate the parental rights. It's not something that we ever want to do. We want them to be able to reunify. But luckily, I can say that we have about 50% reunified. And the other 50% that found permanency, it was something else, right? Adoption, or if they're old enough, they can get independence.
So on the adoption side of things, are those children then anxious to be adopted at that point that they want to be with the foster parents or whoever?
Usually. Mm-hmm, yeah. It might be a relative that they've been staying with. Not all are in a traditional foster placement. So it could be a relative that's going to adopt them, or it could be foster parents. And so, yeah, typically the judge wouldn't say, oh, you're going to be adopted by someone that you haven't gotten along with, right? He wants to make sure it's a good fit first. So,
and, of course, that adoptive person has to come before the judge. And I know with adoptions in general, go before the judge. You also have a caseworker come out to the home to check things out.
Yes.
To see what's going on, how things are, the environment, and what have you. And I believe there's a 6-month period that you wait before the final papers are processed. Is that correct?
Yeah, it can take quite a while. It's just a different timeline for everybody, especially depending on whether they've already been fostering them and how long. And it's different across the board, but it takes a little while.
So then do you do monthly checks? Is that how it works?
I actually don't know much about that. Once the adoption takes place and the child is no longer in the system, per se, our role at CASA kind of ends. Now, a lot of our volunteers actually do stay in the child's life, but that's up to the child and the foster parents if they want that. And so luckily, a lot of them do get to stay in their life. But after that, we're officially no longer involved.
So. Do you find that the younger children are more readily adopted as opposed to the older children?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People are much more anxious to adopt younger children than the older ones. The teens are often the ones that are forgotten about.
And that's kind of sad because that teen deserves to have some care too, just like the younger ones. But I'm sure you're a teenager, and sometimes teenagers are hard to deal with. But that doesn't mean that they can't have a good life.
100%. We've seen so many of these teens really lean into the relationship with their CASA and get the resources that they need from the caseworker. And if they, you know, they have someone advocating for them, they can go on to do really great things.
So as time has gone by, have you had some of these children come back that were in the CASA system that have come back to say, hey, it's me, how are you, here's what I'm doing?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, they stay in touch with their advocate quite a bit. We actually are just filming a video for an event that we have coming up with a foster child that aged out and her advocate who have stayed friends and have a really beautiful family-like relationship. So we're actually filming her story, and it was amazing to see how well she's doing.
Well, that leads us right into it. You want to tell us about that video and story coming up?
Yeah, so the story is about one of our, like I said, she aged out and she's 21 now, but she was able to stay in touch with her advocate and they're like basically sisters now, you know, kind of. And she has gone on, Alex is the foster child, now an adult. She's gone on, she's got a great job and a career in remodeling homes and flipping homes with someone that she found that can do that. And she's incredible. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. She also happens to be a TikTok star. She has like 76,000 followers on TikTok or something. But yeah, doing really, really well. We're excited to share that story at our upcoming event.
Okay. You say upcoming event. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, there's different ways to get involved if you're interested in this. One, if you want to become an advocate, we'd love to meet you. You can come to our informational sessions. We do those virtually and in person. You can go to our website to find out when those are, but those are great ways to find out about us. And then at Boulder Ridge Country Club on September 14th at 7 a.m., we do a breakfast before work, so anybody can go. It's a free event, but you can come. You're actually going to hear Alex's story at that event. We have other speakers. It's just an hour, hour and a half. We get you out the door so you can get to work. Great way to learn about what CASA is doing. Great opportunities to be able to support us in different ways through that. So, again, free event. We need you to register so we know to have breakfast for you, but that's open to anybody in the community, and we'd love to see people there.
So we want you to run through that one more time, where it's going to be, and the time and everything else, and so people can write it down if they're listening. So go ahead.
Absolutely. So it's called Light of Hope Breakfast. You can see that on our website. It's going to be at Boulder Ridge Country Club, September 14th at 7 o'clock a.m. Again, free. Just go to our website to register, or you can give us a call and let us know you're going to be there, and invite as many people as you can to come with you.
Okay. And then once you're there, what will take place?
Yeah, it's just going to be a presentation. I mean, you can do some networking as you sit at your tables and have breakfast. And then we're going to do a presentation with some speakers. I'll be speaking. Like I said, you'll see the video of Alex's story and her CASA. And then we'll have some other another speaker as well. And then there'll be an opportunity to give if that's what you would be interested in, a monthly giving or another donation. And then also if you're interested in becoming an advocate, there'll be people to speak with.
So if you did monthly giving to support a child, is there an amount that generally you look for?
Well, really, we'll take anything, right? Every dollar counts in this situation. It costs around $2,500 a year for us to support a child. So, but really, we'll take any amount. We kind of are looking for people who would be willing to give around $20, $25 a month to help us be sustainable, right? It helps us to be able to budget and count on the money that we're going to have coming in.
So that money, then, how is that allocated?
Yeah, so a lot of ours is for salary, right? Because our volunteers, I mean, imagine if we had to pay 150 of these people to be the CASAs, right? But they're volunteering their time, which means we can run on a very lean budget, which is nice. But we have our small staff of 10, and most of those are advocate managers. So they have maybe 30, 35 cases at a time. So meaning that they're managing the advocates. And so the advocate can come to them. So most of that goes to salaries, but also we do some events and things like that. We try to work with the advocates and make sure that they have continuing education and all of the things that they need so that they can do their job.
Is there a number of events per year that you have, Becky?
We typically have four. So we've got the Light of Hope Breakfast in September. In October, again at Boulder Ridge, we have a ladies' night called Little Black Dress. And then in March, we do Big City Bash. And in April-ish, we do a road rally. So lots of ways to come and check us out.
Well, that's great. To remind everybody, we're talking to Becky Morris, the Executive Director of CASA of McHenry County. And for you folks out there, we want to thank you for sharing time with us today. You've been listening to the Huntley Community Radio Station. If you go to huntleycommunityradio.com and click on Contact Us, it'll give you more answers and answer many questions you may have. We're happy to have you join us next time with our show in Around Town. I'm Ron Giordano, wishing you well and thanking Becky for joining us today. Have a great day, folks.
Yeah.